Welcome to Doctrine and Doxology, a podcast series designed to help our Christian beliefs lead to Christian worship. We hope you will grow in the knowledge of the Christian faith and, in turn, will worship and glorify God. Thanks for joining us as we go from understanding to worship. Today's episode is brought to you by The Pour Over. The Pour Over drops a new summary of current world events into your inbox three times a week with reminders and verses to keep Christians focused on eternity, not the chaos in Washington, D.C. or Wall Street. Their mission is to keep Christians informed about current events while focused on Christ. It really has been a great addition to my email newsbox. You can go to thepourover.org, O-R-G, and subscribe to their regular mail outs and get those news updates three times a week, and it is wonderful.
Sounds good. Have to give that a shot.
It is. It's unique. It's simple. It's clear. It's straightforward. It's funny. They interject some humor in there. But what I like most is at the end of each news section, they put a verse and a thought to help a Christian
negotiate?
Understand the issue in light of the Bible. Understand the issue in light
of good.
Eternity. Yeah, so it's really good. And their sponsorship involves a giveaway.
Really?
What are they giving away?
They are giving away stickers, a coffee mug, and a free T-shirt.
I've had stickers before. I don't like them.
No, not those stickers.
Oh, okay.
These are like stickers you put on your laptop or your coffee cup or whatever, your car. They're pretty neat. And you
like
can,
a bumper sticker?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you could put it on your bumper, I guess.
Just okay.
Several stickers.
I don't do that.
But you might if you won.
I wouldn't put it on my bumper.
No, because we're car guys, so we don't deface.
I'm a purist.
Yeah, that's right. But part of the giveaway this time is these stickers, a really cool coffee mug, and a free T-shirt. And you get to pick the size of your shirt. I think the shirt is the one on their website, Be Doers.
I wouldn't want an extra small.
No, they gave a free T-shirt code for this shirt. So you'll get the code, get to go online, plug it in,
get
the free shirt. Yeah, absolutely. So check them out at thepourover.org. Subscribe to their newsletter. Give it a try. You can always unsubscribe, but I doubt that you will. I think you'll enjoy it. I think it'll be good. It's been a blessing to me. And then go to our social media page to find out how to win the giveaways.
There you go. Sounds good.
It is good. I really like them. I encourage many to look into their newsletter.
Stuff.
Well, here we are. Last week, there was snow everywhere.
Right, there was.
This week,
there's sunshine everywhere.
65 degrees.
Right.
But we're still here, like the U.S. Post Office.
Oh, I don't want to.
Rain, sleet, or snow.
I don't want to try to stand up to that standard. I'm sorry.
You know, when they were delivering.
But I think we should try.
They were delivering mail in like negative 20 wind chills here last week.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. Nobody should have to work in that.
I know, but they're code.
I know.
Neither rain nor sleet or dark of night or whatever else.
Zombie apocalypse.
Yes, will interrupt your mail service.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well.
But anyway.
Here we are. Trying to be consistent, no matter the weather, to answer our listener-submitted questions. And today's question is incredibly timely.
It is very timely. Like, it's good for today.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Timely. Very important, very relevant to life today as a Christian.
Well, because sometimes there's mass confusion. Because there's so many issues out there that are good things to maybe protest.
Okay.
But there are so many of them that you can't protest all of them, or you would live a life of protest.
Be a monk. removed from the world, a monastery.
Are so immersed in the world you can't merge into God's word.
Why don't we ask the question?
Let's do that. That's the best way.
Yeah.
You want me to read part of it or all of it? Just the first part?
I think just the question.
Okay. It starts off with a...
I don't think all the background was meant to
okay.
be read.
Okay. All the phrase. It's just for explanation, right?
Maybe.
Okay. Information overload. How do I approach all of the information given daily, especially from other Christians, in a biblical way so I can continue to walk in God's will? Question mark.
That's a great question.
Yes, it is.
And the background does deal with the fact that they're told a lot of different things by a lot of different Christians
and Christian organizations.
How do I know what's most important? How do I know what's necessary? How do I decipher and handle all the information coming my way?
Right.
Which is timely because, number one, we're in a polarized world where everything is one or the other. There's no middle ground right now in our
right.
country. And number two, we've pleaded with that information to come into our lives, social media, news outlets, et cetera, and most of it is junk. Most of it's garbage.
Well,
but it contributes.
Come on now.
It contributes to this overload of information.
Yeah, sometimes you have to kind of fluff it away because we get requests from radio stations, Christian radio stations, to boycott a certain store.
Yes,
and we get and these things come consistently, and there's several stores that are being asked to be boycotted.
Look, yeah, you know how I feel about that radio station. I'm not going to say its name.
That's good because you're already giving it a negative context here.
Well, knowing them, they'll sue us for slander. I don't think very highly of them, and I would. My position has been, someone who listens to that radio station should not. They should just get off.
Well, that's maybe a different subject for a different day. But
yes.
The question is, what do you do if someone says you should boycott XYZ store because of XYZ reasons?
I ignore it.
I don't completely ignore it because most of the time those reasons have a validity to it.
Yeah, but boycotting doesn't work.
Okay, maybe not. My problem is if I boycott this store and I go to this other store instead, has anyone or have I checked out that store's policies to make sure
right.
they're scripturally sound?
That's part of why boycotting stores doesn't work. Every company out there, minus, Chick-fil-A, is...
Hobby Lobby, maybe.
Is secular.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their goal. Profit, money. They're
right.
not Christian companies.
They're usually ran by a corporation, which has really no conscience or heart. They're there for one purpose, to make money.
Yes. So,
for their stockholders.
So that's, I mean, boycotting is this endless cycle of, I don't know, depriving yourself. They don't miss you. It certainly didn't work. The Southern Baptist Convention boycotted Disney over their homosexual views
right.
a decade or so back. You know what happened during that whole year? Disney's stock went up. The boycott did the...
Had a reverse effect.
Had a reverse effect. Did the opposite. It's just... I mean, that was a turning point in Southern Baptist life in America where they began to learn that they don't have as much pull over the culture and society as they thought.
Right.
I just think there's better ways to engage in culture than
But I think this individual is actually seeking to try to live a godly life.
Yes.
They're seeking purity. They're seeking, they don't want to sin.
Yes.
And some people say, well, hey, if you don't do what I'm saying, you're probably sinning.
Right. And so I think there's a couple of things this person needs to consider. I think of John 16, where the Holy Spirit is called the Helper.
Yes, that's what he does.
That's true, yeah. And I think God gives us a few internal things to help navigate this. I think he gives us a conscience.
Right.
And he tells us to follow that conscience, to listen to that conscience. Our consciences aren't perfect, but if you're going against your conscience or this really troubles your conscience, just don't do it or don't be a part of it or don't shop there, whatever it is.
Right.
But then also he tells us through his helper to pray and ask for wisdom and discernment, and he gives those things. Wisdom to live this life, to honor God, and discernment to know right from wrong and good from evil and necessary and unnecessary.
Sure.
And so I think we take time and say, Lord, I've done this, and I've done this very recently. Lord, I'm bombarded with a lot of different viewpoints, and they're all different from each other, and they all say that they're the only right way to understand
right.
something.
Right.
I need discernment. I need your help.
Yeah. But you have a lot of people who are giving what seems to be sound advice to the Christian, and they're wanting you to pursue their idea of the best way to handle whatever sin problem they're trying to handle.
Yes.
So, you know, there's people who wanted you to join them in their quest to abolish abortion, for instance.
Yes.
And that's a very worthy cause.
Yes.
And there's hundreds, literally, of causes out there that people want you to join because that's their passion. That's what they are passionate about.
Yeah.
And truthfully, I can't join 100 organizations.
Yeah.
And do what I live life in a normal way without worry and fret.
Right. You gave me the best piece of advice on something like that, something like this.
Really?
Yeah. And it stuck with me.
I am surprised.
It was probably 12 years ago.
I probably forgot about it.
Well, you said there are many good things out there. I can't be involved in them all.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm headed for here.
And that was so simple and so profound to me that I can still acknowledge something as good, but that doesn't mean I have to be involved in it because I can't. Comes some point I can't give any more money. I can't give any more time.
Right.
Can't
right.
give any more attention and on and on and on. In fact, I was telling somebody about this today. Just as a pastor, I'd say 90% of my conversations are with people trying to convince me to do something or be a part of something or believe
yeah.
something. Because they're passionate about it, just like you said. And so
right.
I think the Christian needs to listen to their conscience as this information floods in, pray and ask for wisdom and discernment, but then most notably, know your Bible, right? You have to know the scriptures to know what's
sure.
true and what's
sure.
less
and a lot
true.
Of these really good causes are really good causes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things happening in the world that are against God's word. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, if God inspires me to do all I can against one particular sin that I think I can have an impact again with, and maybe a few people may join me in that, but I don't think if you didn't join me, you would be in sin.
Yeah, and I think some of it is just having the knowledge, the wisdom to understand that even if they tell you that you'll be in sin, even in spite of their passion, people like that are often letting their zeal cloud their sound judgment.
Sure.
You know, I've had to do this in life and just say, I can't listen to anything else. I have to just get in the scriptures. I can't take any more. So I actually put very little stock into most things that I hear unless I've had the time to study it for myself.
Right.
Kind of take it all with a grain of salt.
And sometimes you have to really weigh what the cause is against Scripture,
yeah.
what Scripture actually says about it.
Yeah, and the Bible's, when it comes to the purpose of a Christian in this life or in the church, the Bible's incredibly liberating because it doesn't tell us, God doesn't tell us that we have to be involved in every single thing. In fact, he says the opposite. He says you're going to have specialized gifts in certain areas, and those are the areas you should focus on and thrive in. So I'm not a political guy, but I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters who are political, who are pushing a godly agenda.
Sure, absolutely.
I just want to help them do it rightly. I'm not a, you know, X, Y, or Z. I'm not a boycotter. But maybe there's some good things that those people are doing that let them do it. My gifting, my focus by God is over here, and it takes us all, right?
Right.
We can't all just jump into one movement or one ideology or
one cause.
One cause.
There's too many causes.
Yeah. So I think when the flood of information comes, we need to discern a couple of things. Number one, is it true or is it false? Number two, what does God's word say about it, if anything?
Right.
Number three, what does my conscience and the help of the Holy Spirit say? And number four, can I practically give myself to it, or do I feel called to that or passionate about that
right.
or gifted towards that? And a lot of things, it's just flat out okay to ignore or to say no or to just drop.
Is this a preacher thing? Like, 'cause you had like four qualities here.
Did they all start with the same letter?
I'm not sure.
Well, then no.
I was just astounded that there were four of them.
Well,
and you didn't like have them written in your notes here on the table or anything.
Well, sometimes I start a sentence. I'm really not sure where it's going to end. I'm just kind of interested as I go.
Okay. That was pretty good, though. I thought that was really good.
Well, I mean, I really think that. I don't know if I can remember all four exactly right now, but I really do think
you
that.
You should have wrote them down.
Is it true or is it false? We need to know that. Is what's coming at me just right on the surface? What do I know? Is that right or is that wrong?
Sure.
With what I know with Scripture, with my worldview, is this right? Is this wrong? What does God's word say about it? Does it say anything about it?
I think that was three.
No, that was number two.
Okay.
I know for sure.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what does the Holy Spirit lead me to think about this in prayer and as I ask for insight and discernment and wisdom? And what does my conscience think? And then practically, can I do this without neglecting my family, without neglecting my church, without neglecting the pillars of the things that I know are absolutely right? Do I feel like I have the time, the giftedness, the ability, the passion to be involved in this?
And I think number 2.5 should be,
Does
God want me to do this?
Yeah.
That kind of may flow into that Holy Spirit one you were mentioning.
No, it's kind of the same thing. But
okay.
I don't know. There's just nothing wrong with Christians saying no to things.
Right.
And leaving that up to another brother or sister and celebrating their efforts in that.
Sure.
But just acknowledging that that's not...
Well,
that's a good cause, but not my cause.
When I was trying to find Scripture, and I try to do that with each question, I want a scriptural answer, not what I think or you think. I was thinking that God wants us to live in peace.
Yeah.
And if this information overload is causing unrest in our souls, we need to rest back on the Scriptures and read Scriptures. And I was reading one in Psalms. Just during my normal Bible reading, I'd like to cover it just briefly, if that's okay.
Cover it with your hand or holy water or ointment? I mean, oil?
No, I don't want to get my Bible wet or anything. I just want to like to read a couple of the Scriptures.
Okay.
Cover it that way. I'm in Psalms 37, and I would like to read 3 and 4, 5 and 6. 7, 11, 23, and 24.
So okay. 3 through 7.
Well, kind of basically.
Yeah, okay. Let
me just read a little bit.
You just read.
I think you'll get the gist of what the psalm is saying. The heading of it is, He will not forsake His saints. And we know that God loves us and is going to take care of our needs. But this says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And then I'm jumping to 11. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And the peace is the key word that I was really striving for. And then 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, to me, when you are bombarded or people are wanting you to participate in all these things, you just got to have peace with yourself. You know, I'm right. I want to be where God wants me to be. And if he calls me to join you in your quest, that's fine. But if he doesn't, that's fine too.
Yeah. I thought about Ephesians chapter 4, specifically verse 14, but I'm going to back up and read from verse 11.
Pastors do that. And
I'm not ashamed. Verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I think, you know, the main point there is, as we mature and grow in grace in Christ, in our Christian faith, it becomes easier and easier to slough off the information we don't need and chase after the things that do matter. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be taken care of. And,
right.
How about, this was part of the background of the question.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with, in this is very prevalent today, Christians pushing conspiracy theories? How do we know when to listen to those, or should we listen to those? That was part of the background of the question. So,
right.
There are a lot of conspiracy theories out there right now.
Sure.
And they're growing and growing and growing. And some of them sound good. Some of them seem good. Some of them seem right. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence to support some of them.
Well, for me, the bottom line is most of those don't materialize.
Right.
They say, this is going to happen if this happens. Or if you elect this guy, this is going to happen. Or if you do this, this is going to happen. Those don't happen.
Yeah.
At least we don't see it. And some of these may happen, but most of them probably won't.
I find it interesting. If you just give it a little time, they tend to just fade away.
Yeah.
They tend to just go away. They make a lot of noise, a big bark at the beginning, but give it a couple months, maybe a year or so, and it
I was listening to a talk radio recently, and I found myself starting to live in fear.
Oh, my
goodness. The world is going to collapse.
Yeah.
I choose not to listen to that.
Probably from that same radio station, but I'm
no,
not.
It was a different one.
Well.
So you're boycotting, or is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. That's the only time boycotting works. No,
it's what you believe in.
I'm just choosing not to put that stuff in me. And I think that's a good principle to consider with all of this. What we put in affects the inside and eventually comes out. And so what do I really want to be putting in? Conspiracy theories and all kinds of negative things, and they may or may not be true. I just kind of go back to what I said. I virtually take almost everything right now as a grain of salt. Unless they come from a select few people that I really trust, I just kind of file it away.
Right. Well, I don't think it's wrong to hear these things and to listen to them, but and then to weigh them.
Right.
But
I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Yeah, I think it's wrong to let ourselves get stewed up to the point like a frenzy, like I was starting to get into just recently.
I think the best piece of advice we could give to somebody is so know your Bible that all this other stuff becomes secondary. I mean, so know the scriptures and the explicit things that God commands.
Right, right.
And if you do that, you'll have peace and you'll have joy, and it'll be okay to not listen or do these other things. Because these other things may or may not be good. And even if they are good, they're not blatant commands of Scripture.
Right.
It's the blatant, explicit, obvious commands of Scripture that we should be growing in. And so devote your time to that, and you won't go wrong, no matter what all the barking noises say.
One time I visited an elderly lady, a very sweet lady. I love her dearly. And when I got to her house, she had been listening to talk radio, and she was in a frenzy. Well, what are we going to do about all this? And I couldn't sway the conversation. I did eventually, but it took a long, long time to sway the conversation. Let's just don't worry about that. That may not happen.
Trust God's sovereignty.
How are you doing? Let's get back to some reality issues here and not get so hooked on what might happen because someone is in office or someone isn't in office.
Yeah, we tend to get so worked up about these distant things that we forget what's right there present with us, ourselves, each other, life as we're living it with kids or whatever. I mean, I feel like we could have 4 or 5 episodes on this one question because there's so much to it because we are in the age of information overload.
Yes, we are.
And that is used, as we've seen, for good and for bad, and even from Christians with good intentions and motives often use it harmfully.
Right.
They don't build up the body of Christ in it. If a person is just up in arms about these things, I would say cut it out. Like, cut out the social media, take it off your phone, whatever it is.
Yeah, kind of turn stuff off for a while.
Yeah, man, I've done that. It's so good. Life is much more enjoyable and peaceful.
Oh, yeah, you start thinking about the attributes of God and how wonderful He is. Yeah. And read His Word and let Him speak to your heart. It has a calming effect.
Yeah.
And it counteracts what bombarding your eardrums from the outside world.
Yes. So I don't know if we got anywhere with this question. Because there's so much. And so it's for that reason that I say I hope somebody out there asks a follow-up question about this. I hope they ask some specifics out of this question. Because it is so important. I think a lot of Christians struggle with this and don't even realize it.
Right.
As we were reading the background of this question, we were both so thankful about this person's desire to do what's right and honoring to God and not
absolutely
be sinful. That was refreshing.
To me, that was a big key to the whole question. I want to do what's right in God's eyes.
Right.
I want to please Him. I don't want to sin by not boycotting this store.
I just don't know that many of us have thought about it that way, and so that's why I kind of want to keep going with this question, because I think it affects all of us, and I think it does have some pretty big implications with it, just like this person laid out.
Yeah, even before the elections, I think we saw a lot of Christian brothers and sisters not able to focus much on the Bible and what we're here in church for, because they were focused maybe on political issues.
Look, I've been quoting from Galatians 6 a lot lately, where Paul warns them not to bite and devour each other, because I think we see a lot of it right now in the church,
right?
Christians biting and devouring each other. And a lot of that, almost all of that, is built on all this information that comes our way, and some of it we latch on to naturally and some we reject naturally, and that just continues to drive the polarization.
Right.
The calling for the Christian is not to live in this world and boycott this and boycott that and believe this and believe that and follow this theory and that theory. It's to be faithful to Christ in the culture that we're living in, and to do that through the Scriptures. Most people don't realize, I'm going on a rant here.
Go ahead.
Most people don't realize that the issues facing us right now that we think are bringing about the end of the world are entirely isolated to our country.
Right, selfish motivated.
Yeah, I mean, we look at it and we say, oh, Christ is coming back any minute. And you ask somebody why. Oh, because our world's going down. Our world is dark. Why? Because
my 401k might go out from under me.
This person got elected, or these policies are. And then you look at them and you say, you realize that is only an American view of the whole world.
Right.
You're isolated to just your culture. And so what I'm saying is God has placed us in our culture, placed us in our time, and we're to be faithful in it, realizing there's other things going on in the world. It might be chaotic here in America. It might be incredibly peaceful right now in Taiwan. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I got a message from a Taiwan friend recently. I got to talk to you about that.
Anyways. I think the point of the Christian's life is not to know all these things and follow all these things and do all these things. It's to be faithful to God where he has you in ways that he has you
right.
to be faithful to him.
And so we need to realize also that in some third world countries, they are suffering for their faith.
Yeah.
They're living Christianity at the peril of their lives.
Right.
And we're worried about our financial situation in the future, which is very selfish.
Yeah. I would love to have an episode on that. The Christian culture, or Christians in culture, because so much of what we define our lives by is really isolated to our little bitty continent here.
Right.
There are some global issues, absolutely, but not to the scale that we make out American things, and so we tend to get bent out of shape over things that are just on this side of the planet. Anyways.
And shallow.
Yeah. So, Christian, know your Bible, seek help from the Spirit, and live faithfully how God has you living, and these other things will
right.
They'll take care of themselves.
Yeah, truthfully, it is a struggle if you listen to a whole lot of talk radio or a lot of advice from other people. You can get yourself in a frantic rage.
Yeah, trust God and his sovereignty. We would love more questions, as I said, and you can send those questions to us and reach out to us on Facebook and Instagram, Doctrine and Doxology Podcast. You can also email us at doctrineanddoxology@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. I would personally love some follow-up questions to this question, so please, somebody out there, bless us with a follow-up question to this conversation. Those of you that have reached out over the last several weeks, man, it has been a joy to hear from you and for you to contribute to the conversation. We are so thankful for that. You spur us on as we hope we encourage you with God's word. Don't forget about the giveaway from the Pour Over, and check them out at thepourover.org. Give them a try. Get some Christian news into your news feed.
There you go.
News from a Christian.
That might be the answer to some of our problems we mentioned.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me pray, and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you again for your wonderful, unending, joyous love, the peace that you put in our hearts, the joy that we have because we know we're yours, and the gratefulness we have because of the price you paid for our salvation. Lord, I pray you guide our lives, use us, let us be a light in a dark world. And our world seems to be getting darker, Lord, so let us shine brightly for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.